Good afternoon. Welcome. On behalf of the AU Research Center, we want to thank you for attending today's presentation. Upcoming presentations. Next Wednesday, April 5th, 2006, Sheila Greaves will be presenting Archaeology in the Rocky Mountains. On April 12th, Diane Conrad will be presenting Everything You Wanted to Know About PLAR and More. Our fourth announcement. According to FOIP regulations, we must inform you that today's Lunch and Learn presentation is being recorded. The purpose of recording is to allow people who are unable to attend today's session to view the proceedings. The recordings are available via Illuminate. It is my pleasure now to introduce today's speaker, Chakun Zhang. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My pleasure to have the time here to talk with us, talk with everybody about my interest in research in the Somatic Web for adaptive e-learning. So let's take a look at the offline of what I would like to talk. First of all, I'll just give a brief introduction about the Somatic Web concept and detail of the why is the Somatic Web there and why it's the alternative approach to our existing technology and how is the Somatic Web can be used in the e-learning system. And sometimes I will just give a review about the future of the e-learning, since lots of people are already familiar with that, but to just give a quick introduction. And then I will introduce some concepts and the ideas of how can the Somatic Web can be used in the e-learning, especially focus on the ontology issue. That means what the ontology looks like, what's the structure of the ontology, and what kind of teaching strategy, pedagogy, etc. can be represented as ontology in the e-learning system. Okay, let's move on to the next slide. You know, the Somatic Web actually is a big bunch of the technologies. It's still growing. It's very fast. As well, the e-learning is a specific area. Also, the technology combined the education technology as well. So it's just another really active area. So this presentation doesn't have enough time to combine the whole thing, but I just want to and try to explain this related to technology. Use this figure to show the first of all, from the view of the Somatic Web side, to see what Somatic Web looks like from a really high concept level to go to the data down to the technology issue. On the other hand, as from the right side, to see to view the what e-learning system looks like. Still from a high level issue to go down to the some of the detailed technology based. And then we try to give some explanation about all like the rare to say how can the Somatic Web technology contribute to the e-learning system, especially focus on some of the new features of the e-learning system. So there basically three issues we'll be talking. The one is about the content ontology, and then about the pedagogy ontology, and the structure ontology is the basic topic we will talk. Okay, thank you. Now we move to the next step. Now, today's web actually, everybody have experienced websites. It's our whole life's issues. working like a normal city radio show web all around. We know that what's written, what's important for us. So, however, if we think about today's web, we may think about something. First of all, it says hand web is only suitable for human consumption. That's one issue. That means you can search something and do something in USB information, but all the process have to control by yourself. The second, when you try to search something, you have to use secure words. For example, the global, Yahoo, etc. So, keywords means you can select some sensitive keywords or some relatively weak or strong word that totally affect what the result you got. So, also you have to have a lot of interaction when you get the media result and then finally get the result you are satisfied, you are satisfied. So that's limited. And the third question is you have to, user have to browse to select the document to extract the information you are looking for. That's also a very time consuming activity. And the fourth one is the meaning of the web content is not machine accessible. Accessible means that the machine can talk with machine, another machine, to understand what meaning about another machine's information. You know, human beings are intelligent, we can read the text, whatever, for whatever reason, but the machine is hard to do that. It's a challenging research in the computer science for decades about AI, intelligent technology, etc. But still, this technology is limited. So, SemantiWeb tried to another way. As some of the research in the computer science realm, they know that the artificial intelligence already done a lot of things in the last decade about how to have the powerful method to use the AI technology to retrieve and mine the existing information. That's from all sides of the point of view. But the matter would go to the from very beginning, that's from the end of the source, the source itself. So that's the different way to do that. But that makes things more easier. So let's go for the next step. Next. Sorry. Okay. Thank you. Okay. If you look at this figure, I just quickly give the description at the concept level. Here is a current situation. Website resource can be organized, can be read, etc. So any kind of a way, but normally this information shows for the human using. The SemantiWeb, on the other hand, try to use a different format. We call the semantic way. So that means to try to format information to add more semantic information within the information system, and then to allow the machine, or we call the agent, another machine, to automatically assess very meaningful information. That's what the semantic level of the document standard tried to do. It is still, the standard is still growing very fast. Thank you for the next step. This is one issue. Another issue is about the feature of the interaction between the human being and the computer or information system itself. If we look at this level, it's our current situation. For example, user can use a web browser and then to use the search engine, whatever kind of the engine it is, and then to access a web document. This is what we're exiting to the current situation. So as I said before, this process, it looks fine, but the user interacts, you know, with the improving system, is the whole process is expensive. It's just in the time. You have to interact several times, one side and then several times to this time. Also, some of the information maybe is not exactly the meaningful. You maybe get a wrong result, maybe something not available, etc. However, in the future, that's what the Semantica will try to do, is giving the very format meaningful information here. We can use the agent to help this process. If you look at here, this example is, because the agent at the media there, and then the user interacting with the whole system, we just get a very, very good result. Just the mass interaction process, that's very, whole process will be more effective. So that's the feature in the future, the semantic work we do. Okay, the next slide, thank you. Now, I think that our audience, doesn't have to have folks on computer science itself, so I just talk a little bit quickly, just from a concept level, and if it's not interesting, I quickly ignore that. I just give a quickly brief the information for what's the Semantic Web will, what kind of concept in the Semantic Web. The key concept in the Semantic Web is express the metadata. This is the key when the Semantic Web goes up. So metadata captures the part of the meaning of data. So it's a whole feature in the Semantic Web. In this end, the ontology provides the explicit and the formal specification of the concept conceptualization. So we use the metadata towards the vocabulary, what's the different concept, what's different, etc., etc. So this is what ontology will do that, will help that. So ontology provides the shared understanding of the domain. Domain means any domain even in the English we still have a different subject area, computer science and scientists and management, etc. Even in the computer science itself, we still have a go further in a different subject area. So domain means is a whole thing. So that imply that the ontology actually is not just a single one, it's a multiple level. Seems at a different level, you may use a different terminology to describe. But that follows some kind of standard. It's understandable from the very end of the stream, and then it goes out globally, and share hold of the concept. So the concept, the ontology tries to give the same meaning in different terminologies, and the same term with different meaning. And also, by mapping the particular terminology to a shared ontology, or defining direct mapping between the ontology, etc., this will hold the ontology can do, or ontology can help. Another interesting benefit of using ontology is the ontology can help organization and the navigation of the website. It's actually kind of an application case. And ontology is useful to improve the accuracy of the web search through the features of concept in ontology. So, given these advantages, we want to know what ontology like language looks like. Actually, here in the current situation, they have a WW consulting there. They have a lot of people involved, and the industry is involved. He wants to play the risk game. Each try to do the way simply to form the strategy of what we call the layered strategy. So oncology might be built from a very simple way, but they found like existing technology. So we call that XML. And I think lots of people are already familiar with that. It's very popular in our regular life. And then maybe used by XML schema is kind of the format about how XML document itself, what's the structure about, what is the constraint about that. And then further, we could use the RDF, we call the Resource Description Framework. And later, we can use the OWL, called the Web Pack Ontology Language, etc. So either kind of the language can be used as an ontology, but at a different advantage level. So compare these different languages, what is its significant difference or the some constraint, etc. Here I will just give a brief description. XML provides the syntax for structuring the document, but we saw any semantic constraint on the meaning of this document. It's good, but it's limited. But it can serve as a uniform data exchange format between the application. XML schema restricts the structure of the XML document, but it's still limited. That means the semantic of the XML document is not accessible to machine, only to people. It works fine, but it's based on the community based. That means everything in our AU boundary, and then in the classroom or some of your local department, that's okay, but it can be do as a global. Because, the semantic issue. So the RDF is a data model for resource. We call it object from a terminology in computer science. Or our website, etc., etc. The kind of the resource we call it. So RDF is a data model for resource and the relation between this source. This data model can be represented in the XML syntax. So that's the advantage. So eventually you can use the better way to do that, but still depend on another technology we saw. We can play the RDF, but still depend on XML. That's why. And then the RDF schema is a vocabulary description language for describing the property classes and the relation between the classes. There's a whole concept in the computer science itself. Don't worry about that. So quickly describe it. And further, OWL is more advanced compared to the RDF schema. They share some idea, but have a more powerful OWL language. That is a richer vocabulary described language. They offer the more logically and mass approach to allow more semantic processing. And further, the logic offers a formal language for express the knowledge, provide a well-understood format of syntax, and provide the explanation for conclusion, which is important for semantic map. So we have the unquote here, but how can you use that? They need a logic process to support that. And as well as the agent, it's a piece of the software can do as a consumer of the ontology of semantic web. And so it is the agent, but it still can live together with the semantic web. Let's go to the next slide, thank you. So here this graph gives a very high level description about layered structure. It's actually this graph made by inventor of the MATLAB. This is Mr. Tim, but to me, Mr. Lee actually. He also is the person to invent our existing website. It's a, that's 15 years ago, 50 years, around 1988, around. So he's the same person. Right now, he tried to lead the whole research group for SigmaNet. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Thank you. So right now, let's take a chance to look at the future of the e-learning. I know a lot of our staff are familiar with that. I just gave some brief description. So traditional learning has some feature, you know, the structure drives the process. We know that the classroom-based structure can assign the contents units, pedagogical domain of the delivery, and the pace of the learning. So students just follow the whole process. And also the whole order of the teaching process is predetermined. It's our traditional way to teach. And also the learning takes place at a specific time, the location of the classroom, and the available tutor surface, etc. in our traditional campus based university. Now, we AU actually focus on the distance education as our advantage, but we still need some new features to support that. So the new feature in the e-learning has to focus on the, or we can say the emphasis on the learner drive the process. That means the learner can do their own pace and emphasis their own part of the whole course of contents on a flexible arrangement of their time and can go anywhere. Anyway, it doesn't have to mean a mobile, but anywhere they can access a website. That's their flexibility. But learning driving the process doesn't mean, you know, we don't need it to support the regular instructor, should we? That means we have to supply the more facility or support to allow students to do that. That's a big issue. That's more complicated than the human being can do. That's too complicated, very challenging. So, a second feature was a long learning feature in the knowledge organization and its presentation order. That means a student can control this process. It's not just the order, predetermined order, or fixed one, just a flexible. Also, the whole process of the collaboration between the learner and another student and the learner between the tutor, etc., will be flexible. The learning activity management and the group where collaboration, etc., and the interaction support, etc., always a new feature in the e-learning system. Also, we talk about the adaptive learning. Actually, some of the features already covered, so I just want to emphasize that. So the adaptive interaction, adaptive course of delivery, and the adaptive contents of discovery and assembly, always overall from the different view of quality content will be the new feature in our e-learning system. Okay. Now, if you look at this graph, just give a at a concept level to see, to compare the two different process. At this corner, right at the corner, you can see the triangle between the student, instructor, and the course material. This is our the regular instructor drive the process. Here, this triangle actually focuses on the student material surface and the course material. But the student drives, we call the student learner drives the process. But that means the student simply abandon the instructor the rules. No, but this is just give the description. Let's move to the next slide. Thank you. So this is instruction plan process. Go to the next. And here is a triangle between the student, we call it the learning triangle process. We just want to exist what we tell here. To go further, actually, we want to hold a student, the student wants to more flexible competition. For example, maybe substitute interesting wants you to do more of their own. So they can move to this side. They have more control about the whole their process. If they are a senior level, a senior student, not a freshman, and not a junior level. They know how to learn. They want to control their time, and they control the whole pace. They can do that. But we want to, we have to supply them more facility service for that. Another student may be really on the instructor service. We can still move this side. So we call it adaptive learning. But in this situation, instruction doesn't simply mean that the person, maybe means from our service or the agent, we call that, but also from the instruction process point of view. So it's what the adaptive learning wants to do. Thank you. Next. Okay. Let's move on to the big issue about how can the smart web technology do can do in the e-learning to fit or implement to support this the feature we talked about. As we already discussed, the part of the common shared meaning and the machine accessible metadata is what's the power in the semantic web. It's a key issue. In the semantic web, it's a major technology is ontology. So if we talk about ontology, it's made pretty wide. And here, it just focus on the course material itself, because the ontology maybe can cover any hold on the system of the inner system is a big issue. But here we just focus on the course material itself in this presentation. So for the course material, the ontology basically can be represented as can be described in the three different group or category. The contents ontology, pedagogy ontology, and the structure ontology. So the content of ontology talk about what to learn or what to learn and what to teach. For similar, it's talk about what to learn, but for instructor or author, it means what to teach. It's an object itself. And the pedagogy ontology talk about how to learn or how to teach to a different person, a tutor or student. And the structure ontology means to talk about how to access the course material, what kind of way, what kind of mechanism to support that. So, the further, I just said maybe ontology can be contributed to the university and this is administrative system. This means, for example, the transfer of credit articulation and groupware system definitely can have some potential applications are quite clear. Let's go some more. So in this presentation, I just give a case analysis of the one of the computer science courses to see what the steps really ontology look like and how to describe in the computer science course. Here I just give an example for the data structure course followed the IEEE ACM computing curriculum to see how ontology content ontology looks like, how the possible pedagogy ontology can be described, or the structure ontology looks like. So working with the instruction units, so In this example, in this case, we'll describe the instruction unit in the post called COM504. This example will be talk, and I give some concept and their relation, and focus on the structure and their relations, and the pedagogy means in their different relations, etc. Okay, let's move to the next thing. Okay, I'm not sure if the figure is clear enough, but I try to explain here. This figure describes the knowledge units with the core topic, especially online from IEEE ACM 2001 computing curriculum and their composition in the data structure course. This actually is standard. That means in computer science department, when you offer this kind of course, you have to at least show up the basic knowledge in the course. That's why we call the what the purpose of the curriculum is well developed in the computer science area. So it is to see the, what the different item knowledge units in this standard. In the, this course, data structure will cover the discrete structure, this whole bunch of the knowledge unit, and the programming language, and programming fundamentals, and also the algorithm complexity, and the software engineering, etc. So the instructional units in the data structure course cover the whole different, combine the whole different technology units. So from the important point of view, when you build this course, you have to identify the different items, different technology units, and then to formally to describe this structure. And then use a standard, looks like a standard, even though it's a locally standard terminology to identify or name the different technology, different sub units, etc. So it's clearly, ontology, the purpose of the rule of ontology is quite useful to describe this required knowledge unit. So at least the contents ontology and the structure ontology can contribute to this one. So the contents ontology gives the concept and their relation, and the structure ontology will give the document structure and their relation. Let's move to the next slide. Thank you. Here we just a quick look at the figure previous, which is identified here, to see the concept and the vocabulary in the content ontology. Actually, ACM computing curriculum to solve the computer science will set up the concept, knowledge, and the skill that should be a part of the each introductory curriculum as mandatory. So here, for example, in our course, existing course, we have units. The left side, units for which all topics must be covered, etc. We call the fundamental relation set, basic accounting, etc., etc. is the basic knowledge from very top level to describe. And the right side, there are units for which only a subset of the topic must be covered. It's just part of the things. Actually, they have a long list here. Here it is focused on algorithms and problem solving and the fundamental data structure. For example, the array stack and the help, etc. This whole basic concept that we'll be talking with in the data structure courses. So let's move to the next one. So if we go further for the content ontology, Holes is different terminology or we call the concept have to identify to give the own name and the unified name or unified identify. So this table just gave you some description of the, for example, in the our data search calls, we have some structural instruction units. For example, that's a function, relation, and then they have some section in the textbook. The textbook name here is maybe the paper-based or e-textbook. However, we just talk about it from a logical level to see that. So this is a concept. Here is where this concept will show up. And here means that physically, from a document point of view, where is it? So use the term of the computer science. This is address. This is where is the data? Where is the data stress? This is the concept. So let's keep different levels to describe the same thing. But you have to eventually will come to where is it? How can I find that? So here you can clearly say the content of ontology basically covers this level about the concept, unit, context, boundary, different concept, the terminology, and how the structure in the textbook or in the courses from the concept level. And the structure ontology will combine both things, is a concept and the word, the concept, content of the concept, and the address, where is it? So it's a structure ontology will do. And here, it's a pedagogy means, you know, the pedagogy is a lot very generic way, or as a teacher when you're teaching a course, you have to use, for example, the presentation and some example exercise and some of the solution of the example, etc. All the generic way or means to do that. But also for the specific course, we maybe need a more different way to detail the different strategies. For example, for this programming course, combine program and the data structure, we maybe go further for the Java code, etc. Because this course is based on the combined Java program. If we combine with the C course, maybe we can focus on the C++, doesn't matter. But the whole kind of thing is a pedagogy means to do. Or we needed some of the simulation to demonstrate what's the process of the algorithm to give a visualized issue, the process to help students understand the algorithm's process, etc. So this pedagogy means if you want to formally combine with the course material, they have to be identify the different meaning, terminology, and the structure, and the relation, and then we call the pedagogy, ontology, to do that. Actually, these three different ontology is internal collaborate with each other. For example, it's not just isolated here. So when you talk on content and talk about the structure, you have to mention some of the content. But then you show exactly contents detail itself, but you can from a structure point of view. But here, structure point of view. But here, the pedagogy as well, it really relates some content. And where is it, this content structure? So, but from a different view to see what kind of the pedagogy strategy. So it's for the different purpose. Let's move to the next slide. In this course, as described the last slide, the pedagogy related material in the textbook will be, for example, for the reader, or specifically for the student, there will be a Java source code printed in the book, and the student version of some of the package. I mean, called solution, etc. Or some of the most of our presentation slides to allow them to review, and that some of the Java manipulation demonstration package to help that, etc. Or some link or web link for the external link to help the emphasis the course material, etc. Also for the instructor as well, they have a solution, the more detailed explanation about the how to handle the courses as well. So let's move to the next. So here this I just give a quick example about how this course ontology can be described. Or also, we just focus on the contents ontology example here. I used Prodigy. I think so some of us be familiar with as well, and they do lots, some of the research already. So this is just a regular popular ontology editor can build the, or analyze the ontology. It's a Stanford with the software to do that. So here I described the context of ontology. So for example, you can see the hierarchy between the different content or concept here. For example, so the tree and then his sub unit is a binary tree, and then the sub concept or unit is a binary search tree, etc. Whole situation actually based on the background, the content itself, that means some dependence between the concept or wants to teach or wants to learn. This is okay when you organize the course or organize the textbook. Also, they have to enforce the terminology to identify different fine-grained units to allow the editor to combine the whole different analysis together. Okay, this slide just showed a little bit about pedagogy ontology. To show, for example, you can look at the left side to see, it's not clear here, but I can explain. For example, the lecture is really talk level. It's a lecture, you know, the presentation, etc., and a multimedia. It's better, much better. Thank you. Okay. If you talk about the, look at the lecture, it will be maybe have a regular presentation slide, or whatever PDF or different document, or multimedia multimedia material to show the presentation. Or some of the example. Example maybe further to describe the code fragment and the text example and the figure, table, etc., etc. But have to be identified with ontology. I mean, either the source code is the Java code, C code, or another kind of code, maybe use a different language to show that. So ontology maybe, for whatever language you show, you describe the data structure, whole terminology maybe keep same. Just maybe if you turn to use this, not code the template, but the ontology to build another course, use another language, that's okay, but you just replace Java code too. Yes, for example, C++, that's okay. And then some simulation exercise. In exercise, maybe some of the author may provide more different category for the creative and project-based exercise, etc. So, So this ontology describes the whole WL language as automatically generated by the protege. Come on to the next slide. Thank you. So here, let's talk about the structure ontology. It's a pedagogy ontology, and also the part of the structure ontology as well. For example, this is the example of the presentation. But the left side is the presentation. In the existing situation, for example, the student review the presentation, whatever class-based or personal review. For example, in class, the instructor just showed step by step, just like me here, I just show slide by slide. A student doesn't have any way to involve into any item, and then from this item to go further search or review for more detail related to the concept. No, it doesn't show, that doesn't provide this means. This is for the, like me here, sitting here, to make presentation. This is from the student's own review process as well. Some of the presentation maybe doesn't have the means to allow the internal item or concept can be linked to the external side. Even so, can link. It's just a link. If you go there, you don't know where it is, and then you just can go back where you found this, very common problem here in our existing technology. That means you can go from here outside, and then you go down. I mean, maybe you read a lot of things, you need to look at where you start, holding it back. You can find a way to go back. Or it's just a waste of time so that the whole process, printed process, is not too effective. So here, and pedagogy ontology, they have to provide kind of a means to support navigative control to allow it to go somewhere related where, for example, this presentation, and then how can I from this slide go to the some related link, and then automatically with some tag or with some mechanism to allow it automatically go back where to start, and then continue to go the further review from a student side. And another summer part maybe related to the simulation, and then the student review here, student may have an option to say that if to see some emulation, okay, and then go back. And then maybe further review related to the concept as well. Technically, some of the incentives is not a problem, but just how can formally organize the whole structure to allow this whole process very formally. That means when you do the course, you just develop everything to by yourself. How can you allow this course can be combined access from outside? Because outside don't know what you're talking about, but don't know your structure, don't know your internal implementation. It can be, that means we talk about interoperability. So I have to give a standard way to describe the whole process, what's the constraint, and then allow the outside to access your document. So you need to combine the different materials together. Okay, move to the structure ontology. Relatively, the structure ontology is given a straight way to describe the document itself. But we use this some terminology combined with the structure with the content. So if you look at here, for example, for the e-textbook, as we have the course textbook, they have the content. I think by different items, where is the page number? No, here is the e-text means not address. We call it a unified resource identifier, not the page number, but maybe the page number as well, combined together. And the chapter, using terminology to a chapter or chapter structure and section, and a section structure as well, and the index, etc. I think that everybody has this reason to read the books, especially well organized. You can use the way, even so it's limited, but still helpful. For example, go back to the index to find out the keywords, some of the concepts, and then find out the ways, and then to review that. On myself, I think the index will help a lot when I try to retrieve some of the concept. I don't have to search of the whole textbook and stuff. But from an ontology point of view, we can let the whole process very formally to allow the whole structure and the organization is machine readable, understandable. It gives some semantic describes this whole process. I guess for some of the PDF file, maybe have a limited implementation about this feature, I think. So this consortium suggests that in the PDF file, it's a new version, they have some research here. So, but anyway, this is a structured ontology. It's also a kind of way to help to build the course material very efficiently. In this end, this talk is going to focus on the how to use ontology, just to show the to try to explain the why ontology is important, how, what it looks like, what the structure is, but it shows how to use that is maybe beyond this talk, but we just give a brief what's the relation between the course editing or course development with this ontology. Usually this ontology will be used, it's not simply for human beings, but actually will be used by course builder agent to automatically access this different ontology, or use ontology as schema, as a constraint to check or retrieve or combine. We can compose just the course material. This material may be from the learning object repository or from all distributed all over the world in the web, website anywhere. But just not to simply use the keywords. They want to use the ontology as a way to help to search a combined process. Also, this combined process can be got help from a student model. For example, we already introduced the talk about adaptive learning, adaptive course material. Adaptive, one means it's about flexible course material, but on the other side, from the student side, it's different on the student needs. The student maybe have a different option to based on their own experience. So how can we describe the student's experience, or we call it a model? This uses model as a constraint to control or restrict to the whole campaign process, so that we need a kind of way to describe. Actually, ontology is a kind of way to describe the student model as well. Okay, so right now we just finished talk to give some quickly conclusion over here. Still, developing adaptive learning system is a big challenge here. A lot of issues will be have to be solved. Now we examined the semantic web as a role in the e-learning and analyze the whole ontology approach can help us to build better course material. And we already showed that ontology provides the shared understand between the course content, course material structure, and the pedagogy information. And in the local way or global way, because it's standard, based on standard, so it can do that. And so the machine accessible ontology, we can expect a cost effective efficient and just in time and adaptive cross-material composition in certain subject area. It depends on different areas. For example, in computer science, I'm not familiar with other subjects, but in computer science, whole curriculum standard is already well organized, developed. We can follow that and then to allow the rebuild the course based on the standard to show the required feature of the course. So we still have a chance to do better, in the, especially for the better e-learning system. Thank you. Any question?
Oh,
okay. Thank you. I have a question.
Okay.
Oh, let me move to here. I don't know why this.
Would that pick up?
Yeah, let's move. Okay.
I mean, how to compare ontologies?
Yes, okay. That's a good question, but in the purpose of the ontology there, that actually means the sum of the standard. When you talk about standard, that means that look like everybody has to follow the standard. It's kind of look like a better solution or you just follow that. Yes, for sure. When you talk about ontology, they have to do we can use a carefully selected word and structure to because it is a shared knowledge. That means the whole group or community or global have to recognize this shared meaning. That's the wide standard there. But this ontology is not just a talk about at a specific level. It's just a whole concept. However, if you go to the university or go to your own course, at your limited area, you can do the ontology, no problem. But then you have to allow the some interface terminology to be combined or follow the outsiders. That means ontology mapping. Ontology mapping. For example, I have my own course. For example, in the university, in our annual university, computer science area, and in the center, everybody show, okay, we can do this way, that we just follow the different, follow this kind of the, everybody grade this terminology, that's okay. But from our side, you have to use some of the, the reference, same name to allow the, what standard name will be referring to the, your existing name. And then that means ontology mapping. But it's still a challenger. So ontology mapping is a very active research here, especially when the people talk about standard. Everybody just hesitates what standard means. When I use the ontology, how can other person have to say it's a good one or a bad one? But if our community will computer science, just like a curriculum development, it doesn't mean everybody has that. But we just counter the most of them. Okay, course should look like this way. That's okay. That doesn't mean it's good for that. And make everybody happy.
Okay. Ontology. So I have trouble understanding all of this, and so it helped me to understand ontologies and that. So thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
Because we need to understand this when we review grants, and so this is a big help.
Yes. Okay. Yes, this I did mention in the presentation. From the very beginning, when the new idea or standards comes out, they have to, especially from the industry side, from market side, from, you know, initially in the new company, they have to improve it. So in the market, it's just go to that. But they have to have the market, everybody will use that. And also, some of the vendor or company want to use as a way to as a product. So yes, in the scenario that come here, they carefully examine the what kind of mechanism to help this whole bunch of technology combine the existing technology. So, counter cement web technology, they give a strategy look like a layer bit of strategy. I talked about from very bottom line, so for example, XML. FNS schema actually use already mature in a lot of different array. Think they can cover it's shared with the existing technology. Also, they use the strategy to build up layer by layer. Depends maturity on the adoption of the adoptability. It's not about yes. I'm here, right? But actually, right now, the RDF schema XML is very mature. It's very popular here, especially XML. So, okay, and whole language already different areas use that. It's not just for document; they use very broadly. And then RDF and go further. Layer by layer. That's the question that I think is just how to combine the existing one, existing technology, especially existing website. We can use the, for example, if you have an existing website, and this another side have a ontology based or a semantic web, how can I from another third part, how can I combine the two different websites together as what I own to use the website or content? So HTML actually they can use the convert, for example, so use OpenTalk. For example, you can develop the agent to transfer the existing content to, but it's still limited. I think it's still limited. Depends on what kind of, you just use that, that's okay. But it kind of simply to direct the communication. I think if I answer the question or just question.